tea this morning, so as you can see, I'm pretty juiced up. As in any airplane, when a flight is delayed, you always delay a little bit, you realize they somehow always get there on time, right? So please put your tray in the upright position, your seats in the upright position. Please buckle up. We're going to take off, and then don't worry. This pilot will land the plane. Okay, let us begin in a word of prayer. Jesus, we give thanks to you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our life. We see, God, that you are at work, that you are moving, that things are happening. And so, God, we just ask that you'll help us to see it in our own life. God, we pray just simply for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and meet with us this morning. Help us, Lord, to see your goodness and grace. Help us to encounter you. God, I pray for myself. May I not simply be a speaker of your word, because, Lord, you know that's so easy. But I long to be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, quite a controversial figure in this world. In fact, many people have admired Jesus from different angles. And they have really shown and revealed Jesus through many different ways, through their own interpretations. In fact, we have books written from a political perspective of who Jesus is. We have books that are written as a, you know, you can say, issues or controversial issues, conspiracy theories about Jesus as well. Not only have there been books written about Jesus, I mean, some of us have even used the name of Jesus as a curse. And so different people have different ways of looking at Jesus, and even other religious leaders have written books about Jesus. The Dalai Lama, about 20 years ago, he wrote a book about Jesus, which basically examines Jesus through the eyes of 8 passages in the gospel. And through that, he says that, you know, Jesus was a lot like Buddha, in that Jesus was trying to get people to do good, that was trying to lead people to be good moral people. And then, you know, in his book, he also says that Jesus is a lot like him, that he has disciples and followers that he wants to teach to live a good moral life, and that Jesus was passionate about what he believed in. It's interesting, as we can see, that different people have different views of Jesus. And even in our day and time, and even in churches today, some of us do not have a complete picture of who Jesus is. Our sermon series, Jesus Unfiltered, it is designed to help us to understand who Jesus is through the eyes or through the experience of those who have had a personal encounter with Jesus. This morning, we would like to take a look at the two blind men's encounter with Jesus that is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34, it reads, "As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' Jesus stopped and called them. 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asked. 'Lord,' they answered, 'we want our sight.' Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. Immediately they received sight and followed him." This passage is such an interesting passage because this passage takes place in the context of where Jericho is. Now, I don't know if any of you know Jericho. Some of us remember Jericho from our Sunday school stories where, you know, Joshua marched around Jericho and they sang worship songs and Jericho came crumbling down. But there's a lot more to Jericho than just that. Jericho is a city or an oasis in the desert, right? It is a place where growth takes place. Now imagine you're in the desert and you find a oasis. That basically means Jericho is going to be a very popular and prosperous city simply because it has water. It's lush. And if it has water, imagine merchants traveling across the desert. They need to find an oasis of rest place. And so here it is. Jericho is a very prosperous and robust city. Maybe a little bit like Beverly Hills today. It is wealthy merchants that travel across. Now, Jericho also has a lot of poor people. a lot of people who are outcasts, who have no means of being able to survive by themselves. And usually on the roadside of Jericho is where people who needed help, who needed a little mercy, a little help on their way, would stand and beg for food or money. And we know that this is the scene that's taking place. We have these two blind men who's here on the roadside every single day. This is their job. This is what they do. Why do they have to do it? If they want to survive, they want to eat, this is what they have to do every single day. Now, these two blind men, they're outcasts and they're rejected by the people in the community. Why? Because the Jewish people believe that when a person is blind, it's because of sin. It's because either they have sinned, or their father, or their father's father, or their forefathers have sinned. And that this blindness is a curse of God. And so therefore, Jewish people says, well, you're unclean, then you can't be a part of the community. And so here it is, these blind men are rejected from community, and they're outcasts, and they have no food, no way of surviving, and they go on the roadside every day. And we are told with the story that Jesus now is on his way out of Jerusalem, Jericho. And, you know, Jesus is quite popular at this time. He's got an entourage, right? He's got a group of people wanting to follow him because Jesus got some cool stuff, right? Jesus casts out demons. Jesus heals the sick. And so everybody want to be around Jesus because Jesus is the thing at this time. I can imagine Peter walking with Jesus as they're walking out of the roadside, walking around with his big strut, only like Peter could, because Peter had a little pride in him, right? Yeah. If you read the scripture, Peter's got a little pride in him. And so I can imagine Peter walking and stuff with the rest of the disciples, feeling all the cheers and glory. I'm with Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And as you can see, this big entourage that's beginning to pass by, and now these two blind men, they can't see. So they must have heard all this noise. Must have heard all this noise. And what is this commotion? And somebody must have said to them that Jesus of Nazareth, this rabbi, is going to pass by us. Now, I suspect that different merchants have often told stories about who this Jesus is, or they overheard conversations of people going into Jericho and coming out of Jericho about who this Jesus is. And when they heard that Jesus was nearby, they shouted with all their might, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And do you know what the interesting thing is? Everybody told him to what? Be quiet. It's interesting that when people suffer, when we go through suffering, and when we go through pain, we actually live in silence. Think about it. When you suffer and when you go through pain, we often do it alone. But when we celebrate, we often do it with people. But when we're in pain, somehow we're often alone. And somehow in the world that you and I live in, we don't like people who suffer. We don't like people who have pain. We want to avoid them. Why? Because you and I really don't know what to say to people when they struggle. You and I don't know what to do when people are feeling pain. We don't know how to comfort them, and we don't know what to do. And so most of the time, we just be quiet. But did you know that those who suffer and those who are going through pain, they feel invisible. They feel unwanted. They feel unloved. They feel that there is something wrong with them. Right? We don't have to reject them. They already feel rejected and forsaken. And this is exactly what these two blind men are probably feeling. And then all of a sudden, we hear people telling them to be quiet. It's almost like being told what you feel or what you're going through doesn't matter. It's not important. Now, I know we're Christians and we go, how can people even do that? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that we Christians aren't that good. Why? tell you why. I'm sure all of you are curious why. When people are going through suffering and when they're going through a problem, some of us, we struggle with talking to them. So we don't know what to say. And even when we do talk to them and we hear them out, what do we say? You are my thoughts and prayers. It's almost a silence as well, isn't it? And this is the reaction that these two blind men have received. And yet, they called out to Jesus. I could picture the scene. As they're calling out to Jesus, people, you know, probably Jesus didn't hear them the first time, whatever it is, and people are trying to tell him, be quiet because, you know, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Leave Jesus alone. He's not going to bother with you. You're nobody. You're no good. Don't worry. Jesus is not going to look at you. But they cry. I suspect that they cried out with all their might so that Jesus can hear them. And somehow, in the midst of all that clutter, all that noise, I don't know if you've ever been in a large crowd. It's hard to hear people, isn't it? That Jesus heard the cry of these two blind men. This is the Jesus that you and I believe in. That Jesus hears us. It's hard for some of us to believe, but Jesus hears us. And when Jesus hears these two blind men, he stops and he asks them, what do you want me to do for you? Well, obviously, what do they want? They want Jesus to address the area of their life that has caused them the greatest amount of pain. They want it to have their to be seen again. But was that the greatest level of their pain? The greatest level of their pain was no, they wanted to be accepted. And when Jesus heard this, the scripture tells us this, he was moved with compassion. This word compassion in the Greek means gut, stomach. You know, the Greeks, Romans, they believe that the center of a person isn't their heart. It's their gut. I don't know why. Don't ask me. That's the way they see it. They see the source of a person's being is in their gut. Right? And you and I understand a little bit. Like sometimes when we're nervous, we say we have butterflies in our stomach. Right? And so Jesus had compassion. Jesus was moved. He felt something inside of him that when Jesus heard what the two blind men were longing for, when Jesus heard about their pain, Jesus was moved. He felt it. And he did something about it. And he did something about it. Most of us sometimes we think, oh, we're just looking for someone to be empathetic with us. But Jesus is beyond empathy. Jesus is compassionate. Because to have empathy simply means to kind of try to put yourself in the position of that person so that you can understand. But to have compassion means to be moved to do something. And so this is exactly what Jesus does. He was moved. And he did something. What did Jesus do? Jesus silenced the silence that they have overheard. I'll say that again. Jesus silenced the silence that they heard by speaking. By engaging them at the core of their brokenness, their hurt, their pain, the source of rejection. And so when Jesus brought healing to these two blind men, it wasn't just a physical sight. But Jesus also brought healing to the inner depths of their being. Because, you know, when you suffer, when you're going through hard times, we feel that God is silent. Right? Feel like God doesn't care about me. God doesn't hear me. I can't hear God. God's not saying anything. But Jesus, in this passage, tells us that he hears and he feels and he's moved to do something. Today's Father's Day, and I remember when I first became a father, and those of you who may remember, your first child is your bubble baby. Yep. If you don't know what a bubble baby is, your first child is the one that you're so anxious and worried about. You're afraid that they get hurt here, they bump their head there, and so you have so many different fears, and so you're always cautious, you don't know what to do. And by the time you have your third kid, you don't, you know, you're like, okay, sorry, it's fine. But your first child is the child that you make all your mistakes on, right? It's the child that you learn all the lessons on. And I remember when Candace was done with her maternity leave, and we had to figure out childcare, and not wealthy or anything. We had to figure out childcare. And so we need the best type of childcare, which is free. And so what is the best free type of childcare you can get? Grandparents. That's right. Grandparents. And so we had a plan in which we split it up the time between the two grandparents, or more like grandma. Yeah, granddad or grandpa don't do anything. More like grandma. Right? So we split it up the time, and Tuesdays and Thursdays, my oldest daughter will be driven out to Queens, because at that time I used to pastor a church out in Queens. And we'll drop off my daughter in Queens. Right? And then in the afternoon, when my mother-in-law is done with her meetings, all the things that she needs to do, she'll pick up from my parents' place and then drive her back to my home until I get home. And so that was the way to work. But one day, my mother-in-law says, I'm busy, I can't pick her up, so that means I got to go pick her up. And by the way, here's a little side note if you didn't know. Babies have a speedometer built in them. You don't know? You didn't know that? You didn't know that? You know, there's a reason why kids fall asleep in the car. Babies fall asleep in the car. They quiet down. Because when it hits a certain amount of speed, they kind of calm down a little bit. I found the speed to be 40 miles an hour. Right? When the car is moving faster than 40 miles an hour, they calm down. But when the car is not going faster than 40 miles an hour, they start crying. And I remember driving, picking up my daughter that day, and it was traffic. And by the way, from Queens to Long Island, it's about a 30-minute drive, but in New York, nothing's 30 minutes. Nothing is what it says it is. It's always traffic. And I remember, oh my goodness, I got her in the car seat, and I'm driving, and once she got in the car, she just started crying, and I'm going, oh my goodness, this is the first time, Dad, right? And what do? You're going crazy. Right? Partly your daughter's crying, screaming her head off, and you're wondering, is she going to choke on her tears? And you're wondering, oh my goodness, how am I going to get back there? And so this is chaos. And so we're driving on the LIE, which is like a parking lot. And so here we are, we're stuck in traffic, and I'm going crazy here, the crying's back there, and I'm trying to do everything. And so I said to myself, maybe she just needs to hear my voice. And so I started saying, Kara, it's okay. Daddy's here. Everything's going to be okay. You're safe. Everything's great. Okay, don't worry, Daddy's here, and then I'm trying to drive. I'm trying to withhold myself from honking the horn to get everybody to go move fast, but no. And finally, the traffic begins to move, and then we get past 40 miles an hour, and lo and behold, she stops crying. And then, after that chaotic moment, I also had a holy moment. God said to me, you know, Ron, it's a lot like you. When you're going through all your hard times, you say, but I've been speaking to you all this time. I've been speaking words of reassurance to you all this time in the chaos. You just don't hear me, but I hear you. Not only do I hear you, I felt what you felt. And you didn't know it, but I was actually doing something. This is who Jesus is. When we struggle without pain when we have suffering. And some of you who are young going, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know. You know pain. You know suffering. You know hardship. Because you know why? It's called life. The older you get, the more you'll be acquainted with pain and suffering. It's just life. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have difficulties. Life's not going to go your way. When those times happen, and it will, and some of us may be in those moments, and we feel that God is silent, we feel that God doesn't care for us, Jesus hears our pain. He feels our pain. Not only does he feel our pain, he's going to do something about it. The question then we have to ask is, if this is who Jesus is, what are we doing about it? If Jesus is the one who hears our pain, if he is the one who feels our pain, and he is the one who's going to do something about pain and suffering, what are we doing about our pain? Are we crying out to Jesus? Are we calling upon the name of Jesus? Or are we saying to God, I got this? Maybe the reason why, no matter what we try to do to overcome our struggles, isn't working, is because we're trying to overcome it. We're not calling out on the name of Jesus. Because Matthew is pretty clear about who Jesus is. Jesus hears, he feels, and he'll do something, because Jesus has compassion. He is moved by what we go through, and he'll do something about it. The question that only you and I can answer is, are we calling on the name of Jesus? That is what we can do. I don't know where some of you struggle, and some of you I do, and some of you I don't. You're not alone. What you feel, Jesus knows. And he'll do something about it. We just need to come with the same desperation, the same hope, the same longing that these two blind men had, and call out the name of Jesus. To invite Jesus to those areas of our life. Because he feels it, and he'll do something about it. We just need to call out. Let's pray. What's that one thing that has been the source of your pain? What's the one struggle that you just can't seem to overcome? What's the one issue that just continues to plague your mind and your thoughts? What is that thing? You know it because you feel it. And maybe what God is inviting us this morning, he's inviting us to simply call out his name. And so, Father, we come before you. Jesus, we come before you. And we acknowledge that there are areas in our life that cause us pain. There are areas of our life that we're confused. There are areas of our life we feel stuck. And we need breakthrough. And so we just simply want to call the name of Jesus. Jesus, would you please see us? Would you please understand what we're going through? And would you please help us? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. And as you see Jesus face to face, and as you fix your eyes upon his eyes, know that he feels for what you're going through. And he'll do something about it. Would you just simply call out to him this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us. You're dismissed, and have a great Father's Day.